Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and it's a privilege to come back week after week as we explore the Word of God together. And I'm grateful and honored that God allowed me to come before His people. I pray that everyone had a wonderful week and everything went as you hope it would be. And realize that with God, it is well. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Exodus. Exodus, the chapter, the 14th chapter. And the title of the lesson is, God Can Make a Way Out of No Way. Do you believe that tonight? God can make a way out of no way. And right now, I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate for the lesson tonight because the title of the song is God is Able. Listen, be blessed, and say a prayer for our lesson on tonight because prayer really changes things. Listen and be blessed.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and He won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able, and He won't fail. Tell me who make mountains move out of my way? Who make a miracle? Because of my faith. And when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. God is able, oh, and He won't fail. Tell me who make a river out of a little stream, and who tell the clouds to roll back so that the sun can look at me, and who tell the wind to
oh.
tell you God is able and He won't. No. Never forsake. No, He won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
And you know that record is so true. God will never fail. God's will, His way, His promises. If God said it, you can believe it. Always at this time in the program, I ask if anyone would like to pray. You could press the one button on your phone. And you could bring us to the throne of grace. Because the Bible teaches in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. And if no one would like to pray because the light didn't come on, I'm just going to lead us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end. Hallelujah. Lord, I just want to take time to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for what you've done and doing and promised to do in our lives. And Heavenly Father, as we explore your Bible and look at the examples that you have put before us, dear God, help us to learn from those examples. You gave them to us, God, because if we could do what they did right and don't do what they did wrong, then we won't have to suffer some of the consequences involved with those actions. Lord, please bless every home that's represented here on tonight and look down upon our city and our state and our schools, dear God. Look down upon our children, dear God. Lord, look down upon the teachers as the school's about to close and give them a heart to want to help our children. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down on each and every one of us. Some of us is in need of one thing and others are in need of another thing. But God, you're faithful. You're a faithful God, dear God. You have our best interests at heart. Lord, you never set us up to fail. So, Lord, I ask you right now to allow your Holy Spirit to have control over this Bible study on the night. I pray that the people's ears be open, dear God, and you take the scales from their eyes that they could see, dear God, and that they could cry out and have a stronger desire to want to please you and obey you, dear God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, and we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God. Well, our lesson tonight, God can make a way out of no way. We're in the book of Exodus. And last week, we looked at the life of Job. And tonight, we're going to look at the life of Moses. You have to realize that in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. God used his servants like Moses, Elijah, and Jeremiah to go before the people went to these prophets and men of God and even the priests, and they all spoke to God on behalf of the people. And God spoke to his prophets and Moses, and they spoke to the people. You see, if you ever want to understand who God is and how he works and how he operates in the lives of his people, you have to visit the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, God, you know, was among the people. He was sometime a burning bush, and he was a cloud at night and fire in the day. And God gave them all kind of signs and wonders because he wanted them to know who he was. And he wanted them to experience his power and know that he could do anything but fail. God dwelt with Moses, and God chose Moses, the person we are speaking about tonight. God said what he has no respect to person, but he do have respect for his principles. Now, when we look at these people, you see how God operated and was the author and the finisher in their lives. So we're going to talk a little bit about Moses, and, you know, I'm going to try to do this as give it as much justice as I can on tonight, because, you know, there's a lot of writing about Moses in the Bible. So we're going to go ahead and start and try to finish this up in an hour, and I pray that you get some insight. The Holy Ghost give you some revelation and illumination, and God have his way on tonight. You see, we're going to do the background as we always do. You see, Moses is the writer of the first five books in the Bible, which is called the Law. It's also called a Beatitude. You see, we first encounter Moses in the opening chapter in the book of Exodus. So, you know, in Genesis, Moses is not in Genesis for those who think he was, but Moses appeared in the book of Exodus. You see, in chapter 1, we learned that after the patriarch Joseph rescued his family from the great famine and suited them in the land of Goshen in Egypt, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in peace for several generations until there rose a power in Egypt, a Pharaoh who knew him not. For those who remember from the lesson last week, we understood how they got in Egypt, why they got in Egypt, and what happened while they were in Egypt. And tonight we see that, you know, what I just said, that the new Pharaoh didn't know him, know Joseph, and he didn't have fondness for him and his family. You see, this Pharaoh subjugated the Hebrew people and used them as slaves for his massive building projects. And the Hebrews began to cry out to God to save them. Because God blessed the Hebrew people with rapid growth. And then the Pharaoh was, you know, kept putting his foot on their neck every chance he got. But you see, the more pressure he applied, the more they grew. So the Egyptians began to fear the increasing numbers of Jews living in their land. So Pharaoh ordered the death of all male children born to Hebrew women. So that brings us to Moses. See, so there was a decree out that, you know, they had to kill. You know, it went out to the midwives, because back then they had midwives, and the midwives were ordered that every Hebrew child that was born to drown them. So you see, Moses' mother was attempted to save her child, because when he was born, she looked at him and she knew something was special with him. So what she did, she put him in a basket and put him in the Nile River. And his sister Miriam was standing in the gap watching to see what would happen to him. You know, the basket went down the river, and it was eventually found by Pharaoh's daughter, and she adopted him as her own and raised him in the palace of the Pharaoh himself. You know, now watch this. Because she was unable to nurse him, Moses' sister, by standing by and look, Pharaoh's daughter needed someone to care for him. So Moses' sister Miriam offered to get someone. She went and got her mother, which was also Moses' mother. She was able to nurse her own child and was paid a wage to do so. That is deep, huh? But you see, once she finished nursing the nursing process, she brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, Pharaoh's daughter knew where he was, and she was the king's daughter, so it wasn't like you could just, you know, don't do it. But she brought him back to, she brought Moses back to Pharaoh's daughter. But look how God did it. She was able to nurse her own child, and she was paid to do it. You see, as Moses grew into adulthood, he began to be sympathetic with the plight of his people. And upon witnessing an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, Moses intervened and killed the Egyptian. Moses fled to Midian, where he lived for about 40 years. Now, Moses was raised by the king. He had all of the privileges, you know. He was someone special. He was really a prince. But something in him knew that those people who were being taken advantage of was his people. And he killed the Egyptian. That's why it's often spoke as Moses being a murderer. You see, that was happening in his life. He went to Miriam, and he stayed there 40 years. You see, the next major event in Moses' life was his encounter with God in a burning bush, where God called Moses to be the savior of his people. You know, despite his initial excuses and outright requests that God send someone else, Moses agreed to obey God. You know, when God went to Moses, you know, he was doing like a lot of us do, making excuses. Oh, I can't talk that well. Oh, I stutter. Oh, I'm not elegant. You know, I don't have speech, you know, the right speech. I don't wear the right clothes. But you see, God don't look at all of that. God know what he has imputed in us before the foundation of the world. And God has a master plan. And in God's master plan, you are included. You might not understand it now, just like Joseph didn't. And as well, Moses didn't either. But God has a master plan. And because, you know, God don't set you up to fail. And because Moses, you know, fought it so much and didn't want to do it, God said, okay, take your brother Aaron. Now, as we go on, you know, the rest of this story is fairly well known. For those who know it, it's a refresher course. And for those who don't, I pray that you understand it. You see, Moses and his brother Aaron was told to go to Pharaoh in God's name and demand that he let his people go to worship their God. You see, but Pharaoh stubbornly refused, and God allowed 10 plagues of God's judgment to fall upon the people and on the land. And the final plague being the slaying of the firstborn. But you see, prior to the final plague, God commanded Moses to institute the Passover. For those who read the scriptures that you all were asked to read, in the scripture in the 12th chapter, of the book of Exodus talks about the Passover that I'm talking about now. So if you're not familiar with it, you could go back to the posted chapters that you were asked to read and you would see. So they instituted the Passover, and time won't allow me to go into it. But I want you to know that the Passover, you know, was something that God did for the people, and he wanted them to remember what he did. And even today we celebrate Passover. It's celebrated all around the world, and that happened over 3,000 years, and it's still being celebrated today. You know, that's when the death angel passed over all of the doors that had blood on top of the doorposts. That's how God saved his people. Come on, y'all. God has been saving his people way in the beginning, from Genesis all the way to Revelation in the Bible, and then each and every one of us in our daily lives today. You see, Moses lived 120 years, and his life is generally broken down into three 40-year period. The first part of his life, he was in Pharaoh's court. Watch this. Moses killed the Egyptian and he ran away. So when he ran to this man's house named Jethro. And Jethro, when he got there, he saw something good in Moses, and he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah to marry. And Moses stayed there working as a shepherd and helping out Jethro for all of that time, 40 years. You know, you got to really realize, you know, say, well, why God let him go there for 40 years and just be the shepherd and do these things? You know, sometimes God detour us to get us ready so that we could be used for his purpose. You see, when Moses was in the king's house, you know, he had it going on. And so, you know, sometimes God take you and set you down. You see, when Moses ran away and stayed in Midian for 40 years, he was a shepherd. And a shepherd learns patience. A shepherd learns how to take care of other things, not just himself. He became a husband. He became a father. So God was making him a well-round person. So when he go to do the job that God had set out before him, he would have some experience, some life experiences under his belt. You see, the next chapter in Moses' life, the 40 years, you know, was 40 was in the court, in Pharaoh's court. So that let you know Moses was 40 when he left there. He stayed in Midian for 40 years. And God, you know, got him ready. See, God took an impulsive thinking person who thought more of themselves than they should, a hot-headed young man, and began the process of molding and shaping him into the perfect instrument for God to use for his intended purpose. And God has established that before the foundation of the world. You see, what we can learn from this time in his life, if the first lesson is to wait on God, the second lesson is to not be idle while you wait. And if we look at the third and final chapter in Moses' life, this part of his life has the most chapters, and it spends the most time, because this is where he has his role as the Redeemer of Israel. 40 years in the wilderness. Several lessons can be gleaned from this chapter of Moses' life as well. You see, Moses essentially had the responsibility of over 2 million Hebrew refugees. Moses was continually pleading on behalf of the people before God, and the people grumbled and complained the whole time. Can you imagine having to be in control of 2 million people walking in a wilderness? Can you just think for a minute the job that Moses had in his hand. You see? And he was wandering in the wilderness. The Hebrews at one time wanted water. And God told him to speak to the rock instead of speaking to the rock in anger. He hit the rock. And the people start praising Moses. And one thing you got to be careful in your life. Don't ever do anything that takes God's glory from him and you try to place it on you. You see, God's glory was given to man. You know, Moses hit the rock, but God made the water. And Moses didn't follow his command. You see, because of this, God forbid him from entering the promised land. You see, even though Moses never set foot on the promised land during his lifetime, he was given an opportunity to see it and then enter the promised land after his death. You might say, Sister Diane, how you know that? Well, if you're familiar with the transfiguration in the Bible, when Jesus was teaching his disciples and he showed up, it was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. So we know he's with Jesus. We don't have to guess about this at all. So Jesus, Moses, and Elijah showed up. You know, you say, well, why was it Jesus, Elijah, and Moses? Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. And Jesus represented the grace that followed the new covenant. Hallelujah. And I hope you have your Bibles, because we're going to go ahead into the scriptures and turn to Exodus, the 14th chapter. And the scripture reads as follows. Exodus, the 14th chapter, the first verse. Please follow along. And the Lord God spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, for they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encompass by the sea. Let me read it again so we could get it. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may encamp before these places. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. See, so these were some places he told them to stay, and this was right before you get to the sea, because they was on their journey getting out of Egypt. So put your mind right there in the place. And you see, 3 say, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. See, he was the water was here, and they was coming towards them. He said, the wilderness has shut them in. And one thing I noticed when I was reading this particular part of scripture, it was God talking to Moses. So it's a conversation going here, and we're going to notice some things about it. And then he said in verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptian may know that I am God. God said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I know what they're going to do. He said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. They're going to come after you. This should let us know how God is all-knowing. He said, they're going to know that I'm God, and they did so. See, and 5 say, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we had let Israel go from serving us? Why we didn't let our help go? They questioning it now, you know. And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Y'all know when they got ready to leave Egypt, God told them, go ask them for whatever you want. And because God had did the 10 plagues, they was ready to give them what they want. And that just let you know when God send you to do something, he ain't going to send you away empty-handed. They came out there with more than they needed, more almost than they could carry. But the Egyptian pursued after them all the horses, the chariots of Pharaoh and the horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea between these two places. Can you imagine that? But I want to let you know tonight, this is living proof that God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. You see, omnipresent because he's everywhere at the same time. You know, God was right there with them as they traveled, as they got to the edge of the bank. God is in the middle of all the situations, and that's how he is with your life. See, he's omniscient, all-knowing. You see, look how the scripture opened. God knew what Pharaoh would do. All-knowing and omnipotent, having unlimited power, able to make a way out of no way. In this scripture, God is speaking to Moses, letting him know his master plan for them. You know, when you hear the voice of God talking to you after you pray, or when you're meditating, what he would do to Pharaoh, their enemies, and when there seemed to be no way out, he would deliver him. God just told him that. Many have asked the question why God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, they feel like it seemed unjust for God to harden Pharaoh's heart and then turn around and punish him. First of all, you ought to know that God is a just God. And everything he do is for a purpose, a reason, and a time, and a season. But you got to realize, Pharaoh was not an innocent or godly man. And if you read other chapters in the book, you will see that Pharaoh hardened his own heart against letting the Israelite go. Because we in the 14th chapter, but in the 8th chapter of Exodus, chapter 8 and verse 15, it says, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief with the Egyptians, the scripture, he hardened his heart. Pharaoh was already, first of all, he had a hard heart. And he hardened his heart on several occasions. So God doing that wasn't like, oh, well. But God have a master plan. And if it take hardening a heart, he'll harden it. Because, you know, God knew that man would fall. And God uses everything he created for his will, his glory, his design, and his purpose to save us and to bring us back to us. God doesn't make any mistakes. You know, they got people that got so many books on, you know, God hardening Pharaoh's hearts, why he shouldn't have did it and this and that. You know, we could understand and just keep it moving. God doesn't make mistakes, and he could do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whomever he wants. Always remember this, because he is God. And if we look at the 10th verse, it said, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them. And they were so afraid. I'm talking the scripture now, y'all. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 11 said, and they said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Look at the people, y'all. Wherefore hast thou dealt through with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? In verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we would die in the wilderness. No matter what you do for some people, right? No matter what you do. You see, at this time in the scripture, Pharaoh was closing in on the children of Israel, and fear began to set in, and now they began to speak. God spoke, Moses spoke, now they're speaking. But you always know God gets the last word. You see, they began talking to Moses, mostly blaming him for their now situation, like they didn't remember the bondage and the abuse and the treatment in Egypt, not realizing that whatever, wherever God guides, he's also provides. But God is working on his timetable. If God is leading you to do something, the provisions is already there. God doesn't set you up to fail. And he's a great provider. But you got to trust him, and you got to wait. Wait until your change come. You know, how soon did they forget? Now Moses answered them, and I'm going to just read the 13 and the 14th verse, because that was his answer. I didn't have to make up anything for that. Well, you know, improvise is just what it is. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptian whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. God said, I'm going to take care of that. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Don't you know plenty of battles we trying to fight is not ours? Don't you know we have to learn how to hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles, and then victory would truly be ours. And if we look at the 15th verse all the way to the 18th, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cried thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. 16, but lift thy up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. Hallelujah. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. 17, and I, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow after them. And I will get my honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor from Pharaoh upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. God said, when I get through doing all of this, I'm going to have my honor because they're going to see who I am. They're going to see what power I have. You see, now this is when God is speaking back to Moses. And he asked him, man, why are you crying? You see, God told Moses, because Moses was probably praying because it was in a, you know, when you get in a jam, you pray. He said, stop praying and get moving. I want you to know that prayer is a vital, has a vital place in our lives. But there are times for action. You know, sometimes you really know what to do, but you pray for more guidance. You know, it just sometimes seems as an excuse to postpone doing it. If you know what to do, then it's time to get moving. I could give you an example of that. You know, a lot of times when people is looking for a church home, and they visited, and, you know, you pray and you want God to lead you. But, you know, if you've been visiting, I don't know, a year, 2 years, you know, something like that, you know, sometimes you have to just make a move and being placed in fellowship and having a pastor as a shepherd, an under shepherd over you is better than not choosing at all. So we have to use common sense, and we have to know when God has already spoken. There's so many things that I hear people pray about that they say they pray about. They already know the answer. The answer is not that deep. But they, you know, saying, you know, they got to constantly pray on it. Prayer is important. But sometimes it's time to take the action. So Moses, God told Moses, stop crying and start praying. God, now let them know that I will make a way for you out of no way. He then tell Moses what to do and started and stated that even Egyptians' chariots and their horsemen were no match against his power. And he would get the glory and the honor. And if we look at 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from behind their faces and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptian and the camp of Israel. Picture this, y'all. Israelites walking out of Egypt, going towards the wilderness, the desert. Pharaoh decided to let them go after the 10th plague of killing all the firstborn because he lost his son in that as well. But you see, he hardened his heart, like I told you in verse 8, and he decided, yeah, I don't let him go, but I have a change of heart, and I'm going to get him. The Egyptians is walking on foot, and Pharaoh is behind them with chariots and all of these things. And the angel was guiding the people. Come on, y'all, I'm talking about God's provision. They was guiding them, and they had a cloud that went before them. And this is what was happening. So now you got to realize the Egyptians is have horses and chariots. The Israelites is on foot, and they say it was over 2,000, and you got the little babies, you got the old people, you got the crippled, you got the sick, you got all of this, and they trying to get away. And besides that, they had acquired so much stuff when they left Egypt, when God told them, ask for whatever you want, and it's going to be granted unto you. I'm sure, you know, it was a lot to carry all of the stuff that they had. So now the Egyptians is gaining on them. So the angel that was leading them in a cloud of a pillar of a cloud that was leading them. You see, right now, here we see God shifting his gears. You know, the angel and the pillar of a cloud, which was in front of them, moved behind them. And it makes a buffer between the Hebrew children and the Egyptian. And you see, the cloud had, when the cloud was out, you couldn't see the light or the moon. So the Egyptians was traveling in pure darkness. But the Hebrew children had a light, because the scripture said that none would fall on the other one. You see how God changed shifts. God has make a way out of no way. You see, in 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and God caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry, and the water was divided. 22, and the children of Israel went over in the midst of the sea upon dry land, and the water was walled, made up unto them on their right hand and on their left. Come on, y'all can picture this. The water start dividing, and it start rising up to the left and the right, like it made a water wall. So the middle was clear. So you see, they made like a wall unto the sides, the left and the right. In 23, and the Egyptian pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. Verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord look unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud, and troubled the host of Egyptians. Now watch what God does now. Verse 25, and he took off their chariot's wheel, and they daved heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighted for them against the Egyptians. Didn't God say they're going to recognize? All I could tell you when I read this is, look at God. He made a way out of no way. Now the Egyptians realize that their arms are too short to box with God. They even recognized his power and gave him his well-deserved honor. You got to realize, you know, I think there's somewhere in the scripture that I read, and God said, you know, it was time for him to do something for the children of Israel. And, you know, they were always being disobedient and messing up, and God even told him, he said, look, I'm ready to do this, but it ain't because y'all got it right. He said, but it is now time for me to show all the other nations what I'm working with, what I could do for my people, the power that I have. And that came to my mind, because right here, he said when he did that and they realized what he was working with, they wanted to get away, and they knew they could not fight against God. You see, if we read the 26th verse to the last verse, which is 31, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the water may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. 27. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea turned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the water returned, and the water covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained it not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the water were a wall unto them on the right and their left. 30. Though the Lord save Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and the servant Moses. Now, God did all of that. The Egyptian believed. They believed. Now they feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. But as you study the history of Israel, you will find out that God always made a way for them. You see, he made a way for them to get to Egypt, because it was the only place that had food. Thank you, Jesus. He made a way for them to get them out of Egypt, because they was being enslaved, what we just learned tonight. And they was experiencing so much persecution and bondage. And then as we see tonight, he made a way for them to cross the Red Sea and stood on dry land. And not only that, he destroyed the enemies right before their face. Before their very eyes. You see, he made a way for them in a wilderness. 40 years. He gave them bread daily, which was mammon from heaven. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. They just got tired of eating bread, and he dropped them quails from the sky. All they had to do was wake up and pick the mammon off the ground. Hallelujah. God always make a way for his children. And if you take time and really look back over your life and you think things over, you could see the hand of God, how it worked in your life and how he crossed you over that bridge and then that bridge and when you were up against that wall, how he brought you through. God wants his honor for what he's doing, and he deserves his glory. You see, all through this story, and it's so much more for you to read and really understand, you know, the experience in the wilderness. You see, he made a way for them to get to the promised land. Just as he made a way for them, he will and can always make a way for you. But you have to trust him. And I don't know about you, but I am glad that the God we serve is a God of great power. He could do anything but fail. He has your best interest at heart. What he done for one, he'll do for another, because he has no respect of persons. And all through the Bible you see, after all that God had did for them, they continually disobeyed him. They continually. And the same thing is happening today. For all that God has done, is doing, and promised to do for us. and through us and to us. We go through our lives doing it like we want, believing we afforded the privilege to do it the way we want, making up things as we go. But you see, there's a moral compass, which is our Bible, and there's a compass that the world offers. You see, and the compass that the world offers deals with flesh of the eyes, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. So you have to be careful. Because, as I said early in the program tonight, because of Moses' disobedience, Moses didn't get to the promised land. And I explained that God took him out and showed it, and God even allowed him to see it after death. But God loved Moses. We're reading about Moses tonight, even in his shortcomings and his anger. God doesn't allow your past to dictate your future. There's a scripture in the Bible where they say Michael, the angel, and the devil was fighting over Moses' body. And if you research it, it's because the devil felt that since Moses was a murderer, that he would automatically die and go to hell. See, the devil don't think that grace and mercy is got that much power, because if he understood the power of God and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he would lay off and still stop trying to figure he could win this battle. So he was, you know, trying to deal with Moses' body, and the scripture said, the angel said, you know, I'm going to leave this alone. He said, because God got that. But as I close on Moses tonight, like I said, Moses lived to be 120 years. And the Bible teaches us that Moses was buried with the hands of God. And until this day, and any time you read in the Bible and it say until this day, it means today. If you read it 10 years from now, it means that day. There are certain things in the Bible say till this day because it's not going to change. Hallelujah. So you could have surety on the facts that the Bible give you and say till this day. But the Bible lets us know in Deuteronomy that until this day, no one has ever found Moses' grave. And that's some information on Moses. And if you really, you know, was paying attention, Moses picked up where Joseph left off. God used Joseph, and he used Moses for his people. And then after Moses leave off is Joshua, which I don't know if that's going to be our lesson for next week, but I'm just letting you know that so you could see, you know, what chronologically happened so you could begin to understand the word of God even more. But that's our lesson for tonight. And if anybody would like to have anything to say, you could press the one button on your phone. You could call and just say hi to everyone. We had a lot of callers pressing in on last week, and it was it was good. So if anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button, and I'll open your mic. But as I get ready to close on the night, there may be someone that's listening, either by the telephone or they may be listening at the program on the internet. You may not know God for yourself. You may not have put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and Master. if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior and you would like to do it, you could press the one button on the phone, or you can call the prayer line, 504-289-9501. I like to let everybody know that this Bible study is not a substitution for a church. We learned when we studied the Bible that God established a church with Peter. And we are living in a church age. So for all of those who call in, I say thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Because without you, there will be no words of wisdom. And I'm grateful. And I thank God for allowing me the opportunity to be able to go before his people week after week. If anyone would like to say anything about the lesson, if anyone have a character they would like to speak for us to study on next week, you could press the one button on your phone and we'll try to make that happen. But if you, if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. And at this time, I'm going to do a benediction and close because it's now the 9:30 hour. Hallelujah. It's so exciting to see how God worked in the life of Moses, really in the life of the children of Israel. Because, you know, at this time, they kept saying the Hebrew children and the children of Israel because they was not the Israelites and they hadn't been made to be they weren't a nation and they hadn't got the promised land and became the 12 tribes of Israel. So we, you know, that's where we was at tonight, so you'll know. And, you know, Abraham was way before Moses. So little things like that, when you could connect the dots, you could go forward in the Word of God. So I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction. And if the Lord said the same, we'll meet on next week. And as I close, I just want everyone to know that it is real important that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. That's our program for tonight. And God be with you until we meet again. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. God bless you and keep you till we meet again. And may God's favor be upon you, your family, your friends, your neighborhood. So until next week, if God say the same, God bless and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Be blessed.